The human body is one of the most intricate and complex designs in the entirety of our existence. It has multiple parts which work together as one, and each part has an important role. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 20, goes over some of the different roles of the body and how this can relate to us as members of the church. It reads, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, And if the ear should say, 'I am not of the body,' 'Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body." We all have a role in the church. They're all different, but we are all together as one body. But God doesn't want us to settle for just having that role because we have to. He wants us to be excited to be a part of the church, to be another member of his body with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We as women especially, are given specific roles to play in the body of Christ. Obviously, as women, we have very different roles than men. Sometimes when people hear that, they start thinking negative thoughts. They think women are supposed to be this thing that shouldn't be cared about, should be demeaned. But that's not what God wants for us at all. Society has been building women up to a point where they shouldn't be as spiritual leaders. They've been considering women to be women preachers, female elders, female deacons. That's not the role that God wants for us. He wants us to take a more submissive role, but that's not something that we should be ashamed of. It's not something we should fear. It's something that God wants us to be excited about. It is about being submissive, but it's about being supportive of our male brethren who are fulfilling their roles as Christian leaders. In 1 Corinthians 14, verses 34 and 35, it shows one of the roles that God has given to women in the church. It reads, "Let your women keep silent in the church, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. If they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it's shameful for women to speak in church." God doesn't want us to take any of these overbearing roles because that's not what he's designed for us. He's designed for us to be supportive, to be submissive. He wants us to be able to encourage our brethren who do have the roles of preacher and as elders and as deacons. And in 1 Timothy 2, we see how women are supposed to act as Christian women outside of the church as well. He commands us to beware of our modest apparel, to have a modest behavior as well. Again, mentions being submissive to men, but it also gives us one of the reasons why women have this role. It says that Adam was created first and then Eve, and because Eve fell into temptation and did sin, that is one of the reasons that women have this role. We also have this role because it parallels what God has made for us in the church. Christ is the head of the church, and the church is supposed to be submissive and underneath him. That's what he wants for us with marriage and with men and women as well. Men are supposed to be the head, while women are supposed to be submissive to them. These roles may seem limiting, but there's still so many ways that women can still take an active role in the church. One of the smallest ways that we can do this is just by attending services. It may seem like something small, but there are so many people today that don't consider coming to worship as something that's required or is needed of Christians. But that's not true at all. God wants us to be at church. He wants us to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ. In Acts 2, verses 41 to 47, we see the first Christians and how they did this. As soon as they were baptized, they wanted to be together. They wanted to work together more, to be with each other, worshiping God as one body. And then going back to 1 Corinthians 12, like I mentioned earlier, everyone is a part of the body. If one of us is missing from church, we're not whole. We're missing something from us that we want to be there. In addition to just attending services, we should also be praying for one another. I know that this was mentioned, I believe, last week as part of our 28 days, but I don't want to take away from that. But I do want to emphasize the importance of being able to pray for one another as Christians. Acts 12, verse 5 gives an example of how the first church was praying for Peter while he was in jail. They came together to pray for something that they all cared about, that they all wanted to be resolved, and they went to God as one for that. And then in James 5:16, it mentions that God wants us to pray for one another, saying, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." It's something so simple that we can do. Just bring up to God in prayer those who you believe need prayer, mentioning them by name, as was mentioned last week. And again, I don't want to take away at all from what they said. So you can see the 28 days booklet in the lobby if you want more. But I just want to, again, impress upon you the importance of praying for one another as Christian women. And finally, encouraging one another. Something so simple as just sending a text to somebody or calling them saying, "I was thinking about you today. I am praying for you." Letting them know. It's such an encouragement to one another to hear that. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, which is quickly becoming one of my favorite verses, reads, "Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing." Now, if you have annotations in your Bible like I do, underneath the word comfort, I also have the word encourage. And underneath the word edify, I see build one another up. We're supposed to be building each other up in Christ. Life is difficult. We all know that. But with our Christian brothers and sisters, we're able to get through it together just by edifying one another, encouraging each other. In addition to all of these roles, we can also follow the examples of women in the Bible who took an active role in their church as well. There are so many women in the Bible that I could have chosen, but I decided to choose Aquila and Priscilla to be our example because of so many things that they did for the first church, worked with Paul as well. One of the ways that they were able to give an example for us is through their hospitality. In Acts chapter 18, it just reads that they allow Paul into their home. They let him stay with them while he was on his missionary journey. Just as something as simple as opening up your home, inviting somebody to dinner, letting somebody stay with you if they need to, or even just, you know, having friends over, having your Christian brothers and sisters over, that shows so much hospitality and so much love for your brothers and sisters. Aquila and Priscilla were also very loyal and very supportive as Christians. Later in Acts chapter 18, in verse 18, it reads, "So Paul still remained a good while. Then he took leave of the brethren and sailed for Syria, and Priscilla and Aquila were with him." So they let Paul stay with them, but then soon after they went with him on his missionary journey, something that may not have been very comfortable for them, but they wanted to support Paul. They wanted to be loyal to him, give him as much of their help as they could. We later see Aquila and Priscilla giving guidance to those who need it. In Acts chapter 18, verse 25 and 26, we see a man named Apollos was preaching in the synagogue what he believed to be the truth. But he was teaching what they say here, the baptism of John, which isn't what we are taught. We're taught the baptism of Jesus Christ. And when Aquila and Priscilla recognized this, they took the man inside and they told him, "This is what's actually the truth. Here's what you need to be teaching instead." So we see God wants us to give guidance to those who need it. Tell those who are teaching what's wrong the truth. And finally, we see Aquila and Priscilla are willing to work for God. This is mentioned twice in the Bible in Romans 16, but I'm going to be reading from 1 Corinthians 16, chapter 19, or 16, verse 19, I'm sorry, which reads, "The churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord with the church that is in their house." Back then, they didn't really have church buildings, or not nearly as much as they are abundant today. So the church would meet in the members' homes. Aquila and Priscilla were willing to let their home be that home. Going back to hospitality earlier, but also showing just that they were willing to work for God. They were willing to give everything they had to help the church and to praise God as much as they could. These stories aren't just in the Bible to entertain us, even though some of them do entertain us a bit. There's something deeper underneath that. They're put there to teach us, to give us examples of how we as Christian women should live. We can open up our homes, be loyal and supportive of one another, give guidance to those who need correction, and we can always be willing to work for the Lord, just as the great women of God did. There are so many ways that we can be involved in the body of Christ, and God has given the instructions for us to do so in His Word. Our Christian brothers and sisters are a gift. Not only should we be pursuing their fellowship for God, we should be pursuing for our brethren's sake as well. The last verse I'm going to read is Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, which reads, "Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Have fellowship. Encourage one another. Do more for the Lord and do more for the church. Do anything you can, however small it seems, anything you can just to help the church. Help your brothers and sisters in Christ. Let us all go out and strive to take a more active and stronger role in the church and body of Christ."